You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we count on Thee to help us simply because of who You are and who we are. God, thank You very much for Your word, for Your saving grace, Spirit of God, for Your excellent ministry. That is, for You to accomplish all of the goodwill that has been made possible by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're in chapter 3, and in chapter 3 we have shared together with Nicodemus about him, his background. We have gone and looked together at the kingdom, to be a child of God, to be a citizen of God's heaven kingdom. It requires a new birth. And we shared together in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And we share together the words, "You cannot, except you must," making it very, very obvious that whatever it is, we cannot do without it. It is absolutely essential that we be born again, born anew from heaven, to be renewed, to be regenerated. And thus, we shared together of water, and we took time last time to make sure we had that down. And one place, hold your finger here for a sec, and go over to Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, picking up, you'll have a word. You have Titus, you know, cleansing of water by regeneration, etc. And here we have the same verb, Ephesians 5, verse 26, that God, Christ, might sanctify, set apart, and cleanse his church with the washing of water by means of the word of God, God's word. How are we going to get clean? Not with soap, Dial soap. Going to get clean by the word of God. The word of God. The word of God. You are clean through the word which I have spoken. John 15. Now, back over to John chapter 3. So we know the two items, the source and the agent, the word of God, and the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, produce a wonderful birth, a rebirth, a new birth. And you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God apart from it. So it's something that has to have, something that has to be, and something that has to happen. Now remember, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. And I want you to keep in mind, he's a very, very committed, obviously, Pharisee. And he's a very earnest man. And here he is. Remember he said, "How can a person enter the second time into his mother's womb?" Verse 4. Now the Lord Jesus is going to answer verse in saying, "You cannot enter the kingdom of God except to be born of water and the Spirit." Then we come to verse 6. The Lord Jesus adding to that, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Natural, natural begets natural. The natural becomes natural. And in the physical realm, as in the physical realm, so in the spiritual realm. That which is born has the nature of whatever the source is. Spiritual begets spiritual, and spiritual becomes like spiritual. Becomes spiritual, natural. We use the terms AM, FM. We're earthly, AM. But all the stations, you can tune as much as you wish, however you wish, to whatever is available on the wavelength in the air, but you can't get FM unless you have FM. FM is one, and AM is another. Earthly is one kind, physical. Spiritual is heavenly, another kind. Two different things, totally different things. And thus having said that, and birth, a new birth, to be born again, born from above, requires change. And thus, and we need to be changed, and we're not talking about changing something in and of and by ourselves. We aren't talking about improving something in and by ourselves, because flesh is always going to be flesh. Humans are always humans. They can be no more than human. So all of the business that we do in education, in culture, in morality, religion, all that we do does not change us, no matter what we do, no matter how we do it. It is rather obvious that we can't be other than humans, no matter how we cut the cookie. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, that we, the human nature, is unchangeable, unalterable, and thus unable to enter in to be a child of God, you have to be changed. To be a citizen of heaven, you have to be changed. We cannot do that. Humans cannot make that change. And therefore, and we lack because we can't make a change, then we try to be something, have something. And in all of it, we can rename it and call it whatever you wish and go from call it good, bad, high, heavenly, holy, happy. But unless there's a change, we're the same humans. And we are missing the enjoyment of being alive. We miss the enjoyment of having life, of having God's will, God's way, an experience with God. A life experience with God. A wonderful experience with God. And now, having said that, and therefore to fit into God's rule, God's reign, to become all that God designed us to be, God intended us to be in the first place, to become that, to be rightly involved with God, to be able to be legally, rightly belong to His family, His nature. Wow. To be able to sit at His table, as it were. You have tables where you eat, and there are tables where you belong to the family, and you can sit down, come jumping in, and sit in a chair, and you're very, very comfortable there, because you belong there. It's your family, and you belong. But then, there's others where you just can't do that. If you went to a restaurant or something, Friendly's or something, and you went to the restaurant and there was a group over there sitting there, you just can't say, move over, I'm coming in. You just can't do that. You could do it sometime in some place, but you can't do it there. God, we want to be able to be so related to You that we belong at that table. We belong where You are. And You belong where we are. Now, having said that, you have to have, you have to be born again. You have to be born anew. You have to have a new life. And there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. No substitutes. No reformation. It isn't a reformation. It's a regeneration. Remember that it isn't turning over a new leaf. Turning over a new leaf is a wonderful thing to try to improve things. But turning over a new leaf does not give you a new life. Not at all. Not at all. There's no new life. New leaf, new suit, but no new life. No, it requires God's saving grace. And Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is Christ. Now, having said that, and our Lord said it in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, verse 7, do not wonder, do not be amazed. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Do not be taken back that I said this to you. You know that. It's rather obvious. It's rather obvious. All the efforts, and you're a Pharisee, Nicodemus, of all the people that are trying to do right, you certainly are. And if right could be accomplished, you certainly would be one of those that would have accomplished it. But you can't do it. And Nicodemus, you know, as we shared last time or so, to the Jewish mind and the Gentile mind are always looking for something to happen to give us a little extra, to give us another life, or give us another start, another break, another something to assure the future. And the Jewish people, and Nicodemus would be one of them, he's looking for that. But he doesn't understand. He just doesn't understand, as you'll see. So what is obvious, isn't obvious to him. And in verse 7, he is marveling, going to marvel, he's wondering, he's amazed, that he even said, you must be born again, you must be. It is absolutely essential. And he's taken back, he's bewildered, he's stunned at the statement, as it were. He knew these scriptures. Did he know the scriptures? Sure he did. Sure he did. If anyone knew scriptures, he'd be one of those that did. No question about it. But he didn't know them. He knew them, but he didn't know them. You know, it's very easy to know something and not know it. Not know it at all. As illustrated 100 times, the Lord Jesus illustrates it over and over again. To know something and yet not know it at all. You know not the scriptures nor the power of God. Now, having said that, so here's Nicodemus. He knew the scriptures. He was locked in to the system of the Pharisees. No question, he's locked into that. Their methodology, he's caught up in that. He's locked up, his understanding is locked up to what God said. So you're trying to read something, but you're trying to read it through colored glasses. And you try to read it, and the glasses flavor what you're reading. And you need to take the glasses off. You don't need to put the Bible on top of some book. The Bible belongs as the foundation. The Bible is God's word. God means what he says and says what he means. And in order for you not to know the obvious, there has to be an unwillingness to want to be born again, an unwillingness to have light and remain in darkness. And thus there has to be a deliberate decision in some form at some time. I don't want to be born again. The Lord said you can be born again, and we say, no, thank you. No, thank you, God. No, thank you. People do that. They don't realize that. Wow. And remember now, I would share with the member the fellow that founded Ocean Spray Cranberry Sauce. I think I share that with you 100 times, maybe. But just to remind you, his name will pop back into my mind. And when I was having lunch with him one day, in the process, he had his little cards that he handed out, business card. But he handed out these little cards that said, I believe on the Lord Jesus, I will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then you sign. And on the back of the card, I reject the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and then you sign. So you'd sign one side of the other. And you know, he very rarely ever had anyone sign the other side on rejection. Just think what you're saying. I officially reject God's saving grace. I officially reject that. No, thank you. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, Nicodemus, did you know, should you know, should you be wondering at this, about the cleansing of the Word, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry? You should know? Sure you should. Sure you should. And he rebukes them. It's obvious. You're a Jew. You know it. Go with me, please, over to see Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel will help us quickly get the idea. Ezekiel chapter 18, and may I pick up, please, in verse 31. Speaking to the house of Israel, Ezekiel 18, 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions. Well, I'm going to read verse 30 for a little better context. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now you need to make a new heart, a new. Now how about the old heart? How about refashioning it? No, new heart, new spirit. Over, if you would, chapter 36. Chapter 36, Ezekiel. And in chapter 36, picking up our thought, verse 24. Well, verse 23, a little context. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profane, made common among the heathen, the nations, which you have profaned, made common in the midst of them. And the nation, heathen, shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you, in your heart, before their eye. Verse 24, and I will take you from among the heathen, the nation, and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Over, if you would, chapter 37. So, as you're reading, what would you know as a Jew? You would know that there would be somewhere down the road, the corridor of time, there must be a new heart, and something's new. It isn't anything I can do. It's something God has to do. A new heart, a new spirit to be washed. God, only you. You have to provide it. God said you must be born again. It's obvious. You know that. Chapter 37, remember, speaking of Israel's in the coming up in the millennium, God is going to make them a nation in one day, as it were. And in chapter 37, going to verse 9. Remember, God is going, the Spirit of God is going to take the valley, the dead bones, the very dead, very dry. Israel is dead. That means dead. No life. Now, there's no way to pull life out of those dead bones. But God can do it. God's going to do it. Now, and picking up to get us, leading us back into John, chapter 37, verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Verse 14. And ye shall put my spirit, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, performed it, saith the Lord. You know Nicodemus, don't you know that? Sure he does. Nicodemus, did you ever think what it said? Did you ever understand that it could be personal? It could be very profitable for you to make it personal? That'd be like, the Lord is my, what? Shepherd, I shall not want. It's very profitable to make it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, having said that, back over to John chapter 3. And verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you. Marvel not, verse 7, that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You should not be taken back, amazed, stunned. You shouldn't be. You should know that. It's obvious. Verse 8, and then he gives another illustration. The wind, you just read it in Ezekiel 37, the wind, the Spirit of God. The wind. Wind and spirit are the same Greek word and the same Hebrew word. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou heardest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit of God. The wind. And the Spirit of God is used, the wind, and using the Spirit of God, using the wind. The existence of the wind. Wind, wonderfully, has a wonderful sovereignty to it, activity. We can't reach out and hold it. We can't contain it. We can't limit it. It has a wonderful will of its own. It does what it wants. Comes and it goes. And especially when you go up there where the jet stream is up there, 600 miles an hour or whatever. Wow. It does what it wants. It wants to swing down, swing up. It does what it does. The wind, the sovereignty, the wonderful sovereignty of the wind, the wonderful mystery of the wind, the mystery, when it comes and when it doesn't, and how it comes, as a tornado, a hurricane, a cool breeze, how it comes. So it has wonderful mystery, wonderful sovereignty to it. It's beyond man's control. Does man control wind? Can man handle wind? No. Can man handle God? No. Is God wonderful, wonderful in his working? Sovereignly? Yes, he is. Mysteriously? Oh, yes. The how, the why, the when, the where, the wind? Oh, God, only you know. Its effects? Ah, we can know its effects. God, wonderful, wonderful, your spirit, your power. You're the invisible. We're in his presence. Presence of the invisible, infinite God, who has no measurement. Everything is in the middle of God. And here we are. Smack dab in the middle of God. Wow. What are we going to do, God? How do we handle that? Well, God said, you see, I'm going to give you something that you can handle. You understand the wind out there, sound waves. There's all kinds of waves you can illustrate for today that is there in the room, pictures, sounds, messages, but we can't see them. It doesn't mean they aren't there. It's just we have no instrument. We don't have FM. We're on AM. God, we need to have that spiritual tuning so that we can hear, we can understand. And thus the wind blows where it does. It blows hither and yon. And as it blows, there's no question the wind blows. And when the wind wants to blow hard, boy, you know it, you know it. And when the wind wants to roar and give it sound, boy, you know. You know, a tornado, I guess, has a certain sound to it when it comes. Wow. And if you're in one, try to record it and let me know. I haven't been in one. I've been near them. I've seen them. But I drove away from them, actually. So, God, do we hear the fact of it? Yeah. And the experience, we hear it. Oh, there's no question. But you can't see it. You don't control it. No, we have no power over it. No power over it at all, God. No power. God, what do you know? Well, the end of verse 7. And whether it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. So is every believer that is regenerated, born. They have a wonderful mystery about them. And God, in his wonderful grace, is mysterious. You have the wonderful life that God gives you by the Spirit of God indwelling your life. And you can't explain it. You can't explain it. It's there. And since you can't explain it at all, you know, and there's all kinds of ways, God says, listen, you have a wonderful life, my life, and you're to outlive that life in a wonderful way. How is it going to work out? I don't know. We trust God, rely upon God, look to God, and walk with God. God help us. And as we do, God, you work out, work, home, school, play, hard, headache, easy, hard, much, little. And you have all of that going for you all at once. And how it works out, I don't know. But we're to trust God so that whatever we do in word or deed, would do it to do it all with what? Whether we eat or drink, do it how? To the glory of God. So God, that's a mystery. We don't know how that works. Neither do you. Like the wind. Work out your own, Philippians 2:12, you know. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. And verse 13, the mystery. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Like the wind. The life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 1, for me to live is Christ, to die is great advantage. How do I explain this life? It's the life that God has. It's God outworking his wonderful relationship that he made possible in your life and mine in a most wonderful way. It's a mystery, just like the wind. You can't explain it. You can't sit down and say, I got a handle on it, and I'll pull out something and say, this is what it is. You can't do that. You can't do that. No. Do you know, and it's all kinds of ways to understand. Life's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's an experience, life is. It isn't a study. Christianity isn't a study. It's Christ. Christianity is life. God came to do what? Not to get you to heaven. That's a byproduct. God came to give you life. A unique relationship to who he is. You can study. You can study, but that isn't life. You can have an intellectual pursuit, academically, like a Nicodemus, but you have no life. There's no life. No life. Brilliant exegete, but no life. It's about life. That's why, you know, in Acts 4 and all of that, where the fishermen, tax collectors, befuddled the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, because they were nobodies. And they had a wonderful life. They had a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrected life. They walked in newness of life, and they couldn't explain it. They just had it. a mystery. Sovereign, sovereign mystery. And God, is that what you're trying to tell Nicodemus? It is. I'm trying to tell him. I prepared Israel. If anyone should have known what I would do for them, if they would but let me. But they never let me. So life, it's an experience. You take medicine, do you, sometime? And you take medicine, and you go, and you take the medicine, and you assume, you don't know what it is always, the little blue, pink, purple pill. Do you know what's in it? I bet you don't know what's in it. And you take it. You take the syrup. Big bowl of syrup. Down the syrup, you know. You don't know what's in it. And you feel bad. But you take the medicine. And you feel good. Can you? You couldn't explain why you feel good. And it may not even be the medicine. It may not be the medicine, too. But assuming it is the medicine, you can't explain the medicine. But boy, are you glad that you feel good. Doesn't it? You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll never explain it. How are you going to explain that God has placed you in His Son, and His Son is in the middle of God? God has placed Himself in the middle of you, and you in the middle of God. Would you please explain that? Tell me how you, I can explain it to you. I can write it out. I can do all of that for you. I can do it. But you can't. It's an experience. It's a life relationship. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over in verse 8. Verse 8, the wind blows. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can these things be? And he's rebuked. He knows it's an obvious thing, and he's being rebuked. He's blinded. And thus he can't understand. Can he read the Hebrew, the Aramaic, Greek? Sure. He just doesn't understand. He's blinded. You can see God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But you can't get that meaning, that love, all the impact, the import of that to your heart. You can read it, you can spell the words, but you can't have it unless your heart's right. Now, hold your finger here a minute and go over with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, of all kinds of places, just to remind ourselves, Nicodemus has a problem. It's a normal problem. He his system didn't say that there's no such thing as Ezekiel 20, 36, etc. It can't happen. God could never do that. And thus he works with that. A lot of people work with their backgrounds, their religious backgrounds or whatever background you wish. And that governs what you do, what you think, and you miss. That's impossible. What's impossible? Nothing's impossible for God. We limit God. We grieve. We quench. So how's God going to do whatever? So now, picking up chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, picking up please in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? For they are foolishness unto him, for neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He just doesn't know. The spiritual man, remember in 2 Corinthians? Well, you're right here. Why not? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in chapter 4, picking up verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Unbelief blinds the mind. It shuts the eyes, turns the thinking spiritual capacity off. Blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And thus unbelief. Well, God, you can't be who you are, but I am who I am, said God. I am exactly who I am. And you want me to be who I am in your life. You don't want me to be who you are, but who I am. Now, chapter 3 of John. How can these things be? And you'll note, if I may, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel? The word master is the word teacher. Notice, please, chapter 3 and verse 2. Nicodemus used the term of our Lord. The same came to Jesus by night, verse 2, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Nicodemus called him a teacher, and now the Lord Jesus turns around and says, Nicodemus, you're a teacher. You're a teacher, and like in Romans 1 and 2, a blind leading the blind, and the blind lead them into the ditch if you follow them. Nicodemus, you're a teacher, and you don't know. You're an instructor, and you don't know. You're an authority, and you don't know. You just don't know. You just don't know. And thus he's rebuked. And in verse 10, Jesus said, Thou art a master or teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things. Don't you know them? Now, hang on in thought. Back over to chapter 3 and verse 2. In chapter 3 and verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. Now we know, we, the Pharisees, my group, the one I represent, the people I represent in the Sanhedrin, etc., the people of them, I know, we know, we know about you. And then, turning it around, the Lord turns it around right back to him. Verse 10, Thou art a master, a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things. You should know them. You should know them. Verse 11, you ought to be knowing them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and receive not, and ye receive not our witness. Now, witness, what witness? Well, here I am, all the ways to do it, you know. And some would say, well, this is John is so caught up in what he's doing, he's using his own name. But I don't know that you need to do that at all. I think I'd just leave it like it is, because that Nicodemus said, we know. And the Lord Jesus said, well, we know. Well, who's we? If you know from John 14, etc., John 5, if you have seen me, you have seen what? The Father. I and my Father are one. We bear witness, John 5, 36. We bear witness. We bear witness to you. By works and words, my Father and I bear witness to you. Now, if I have told you, and it's first class, it is true, and I have told you, I have told you earthly things, verse 12, and ye believe not, you don't believe. How shall ye believe if, third class, it may or may not be true, if I tell you of heavenly things? If I tell you of heavenly things, I may or may not tell you them. But if you don't believe earthly things, how are you going to believe heavenly things? And in verse 13, he goes on to say, I tell you, and no man, there's no one, none of you are going to know, in and by and of and by yourself, you're not going to know. You cannot know. No man can know. But I know. Verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I know. Man doesn't know. Man can't do it. It's impossible for the rich man to go through the eye of a sewing needle to ever get saved. But God said, I can save him. I can save him. I know. I can give you life. No one else can give you life. I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one from heaven. The Word become flesh. Child is given, a son is born, a child is given. A child is born, a son is given. Wow. God. Now, having said that, if I tell you things, that will you know them? No. What do you need to do? You need to believe. Now, in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, you ought to know, before I could, the only reason I can tell you that you must, absolutely it's compulsory that you be born again, is because I must go to the cross. Verse 14. And Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You can't have, I can't even give you the good news unless I go to the cross. And I'm going to the cross. It is a must. That's why I'm going to tell you, you must be born again. Now, in order to understand that and put that together in a minute, remember now, God wants to implant life, wonderful life, his wonderful life, to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And thus you're going to say, how is that going to happen? Something is to be believed about someone. Something is to be believed about someone, and the someone that you believe is to be received. Something is to be believed about someone, and the someone has to be received. John chapter 1, verse 11, 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. Now, having said that, received him, well, who's him? The somebody. What are we supposed to believe about the somebody? Back over to John 20, John chapter 20. And you would recall, John 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name, that you might believe, what? About somebody. What about this someone? What are we supposed to know about this someone? His name is Jesus, and he shall save the people from their sin. And if you may just quickly go with me over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 43. The word Jesus, Savior, God's saving grace. Jehovah saves, Yahweh saves. Isaiah 43. And you'll pick up, please, in verse 1, verse 11. I, even I, am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. There's your word, Jesus. I'm the only Savior, as it were. Chapter 45, verse 15. Verily, thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior, Jesus Christ. He will save his people from their sin. His name is Jesus. He happens to be the only Savior. And if you took time, you would understand that you must believe that he is the Christ, the Christ, the Christ, prophet, priest, king. He's the one, according to the Scripture. He's the Word become flesh. He's the priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, according to the Scripture. He's the one. He's the right one. He's Jesus that saves. God saves. He's the Christ, the Messiah, that according to the Scriptures. He is the Son of God, the Son of God, the eternal, incarnate Son. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man, his favorite name. He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He has the authority, the power, the ownership. And at his name, every knee shall bow that he is Lord, to the glory of God. To the glory of God. So the Holy Spirit's wonderful ministry. You need to know the somebody. Well, who is it I'm supposed to believe? The Christ according to the Scripture. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. I'm to receive who? Him. If I shrink him down to a Jesus according to my mind, I lose out. If I shrink him down to a Jesus, a God, as the world system thinks, I miss out. I must allow him to be who he is, the living and only God. God, be who you are to me, according to your word, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Who am I going to receive? I'm going to receive him. Specifically and especially him. And when I receive him, I need to believe on him. I need to receive him. And when I do, not anything of my own doing, I will become, you will become a child of God. To as many as receive them, to them, remember verse 1, John 1, 12, to them, not to anybody, but to them who receive him, they will have life, a wonderful relationship to God. And it has nothing to do with your feeling, nothing to do with your mind or your brain or your IQ. It has to do with a unique relationship you have. I am, I will, I ought. That's a person. God is I am, I will, I ought. Morally responsible. You are made and I am made morally responsible. We have a will. And I will to receive you. I choose to receive you as my personal Savior. And when I do that, I open the door of my heart. And God, you do the coming in. I don't have to help you, pull you, think about it, or go into a big discussion. God, I just need to allow you to be who you are, to bring into my heart the life that you give me in Christ Jesus. And at the very moment you give me that life, you place me in yourself, in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Our life is hid with Christ in God. A unique, wonderful relationship. And that's what it's all about. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be. Our Father in God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Help us. God, Spirit of God, thank you very much for your word, your working, your outworking, your grace and mercy towards us. So we're counting on it, our God, that we'd be the beneficiaries of all the benefits, the blessings, and the bliss that belongs to those that love you and honor you. To allow you to be the wonderful one to make an experience, our experience on planet Earth, a wonderful, extraordinary event to be outworked in a most ordinary way. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps you'd like to turn, please, in your Bible, as we close, to 548. 548.